This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I believe that to find a job you can love, you must stop spending all day on job boards. That's because as many as 80% of all jobs never get advertised. To find these hidden positions, you must learn how to look for work. Here's the good news. Job hunting is like any skill, and you can get good at it with study and practice. This show helps you do this. Every Wednesday on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss tactics and tips you can use to find a job that matters. In a moment, I'm going to talk to Jessica Hernandez. Jessica is an executive resume writer, and she's president and CEO of Great Resumes Fast. She meets a lot of people who want to change jobs. And Jessica says she often hears the same reasons for making a switch. Do any of these sound familiar to you? Do you feel that there's no opportunity to grow where you are today? Maybe the promotion you want is a job filled by someone who plans to keep it until retirement. Perhaps your company isn't growing, so everybody is stuck where they are. Or worse, your workplace culture is stifling, even toxic, and you have a terrible boss. Jessica says you need to recognize and understand these and other signs that show it's time to leave your job. She also says you need to know what might stop you from switching jobs, and she shares her best advice in our conversation for overcoming these obstacles. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the Mac's List studio as I interview Jessica Hernandez. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Jessica Hernandez. Jessica Hernandez is an executive resume writer, and she's president and CEO of Great Resumes Fast. She joins us today from Callahan, Florida. Jessica, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And our topic this week, as you know, is signs that it's time to leave your job. Now, in your business, obviously, you talk to a lot of job seekers. Why do people leave an employer? What are some common reasons?
Normally, what I hear from people is that they are leaving because of a bad boss, or they're leaving because they want to do more meaningful work. And for everybody, that means something a little bit different, but they want to be fulfilled and they want to be happy with their work and what they're doing and feel like they're making an impact.
Jessica, when you talk to people, do you first encourage them to address these issues or try to make changes in the company? At what point should people just move on?
Right. So when we talk to clients, if there are no opportunities for them for growth or advancement, and they've discussed that with their manager, their supervisor, they've expressed that they have an interest in advancement, and that manager or supervisor is not open to that. They've went to them several times and said, you know, I would like to move up. I would like to have a promotion. Here are my strengths. Is there a way that we can use those to benefit the organization or to bring value to the company? And the manager or the supervisor is just not receptive to that. They don't want to help you make a plan to grow or advance. I think that's a pretty good indication that it's time for them to explore opportunities outside of the organization.
So you may find yourself in a situation where you can't move up. You're not going to be able to use all your strengths. Or as you said earlier, you might just have a bad boss. Are there other reasons that people should consider leaving a job?
I think so. I think there are times when you can see that a company is just not growing, new opportunities are not being created within the organization. There might be an instance where you've just contributed all that you can and made the biggest impact that you can. I see this a lot with executives. And in order for them to continue making a difference, they feel like they need to leave that company and go to another company that has a need that they can meet.
And when people are, one of the things I didn't hear you say was money. Should people take salary into consideration or other forms of compensation when they're making a decision about leaving?
I think so. There's a lot of research that's coming out right now that's actually been saying that job switchers are making significantly more than job stayers. And so the indication there is that the rate of salary increase isn't growing as much when you're staying in a position as opposed to leaving and going to a different company. So I think that if you're trying to advance your career, if you're trying to increase your earning potential long-term, that is certainly a reason to consider making a move.
I know we're going to talk about reasons why people don't make a move, but first I want to touch on length of service. I didn't hear you talk about job hopping. Should people be concerned when they're considering a decision to leave about the amount of time they've spent at a company?
I think that that's going to depend a lot on that individual and their circumstances. So as a recruiter or an HR manager, I was always trained that anything less than 2 years in a position is considered job hopping. And I think across the board, most recruiters are going to think the same thing or think, you know, the same way. We're all kind of trained similarly when it comes to that. However, the market's changed a lot. And so now I've heard a lot of recruiters say, well, anything less than 6 months or anything less than 9 months would be considered hopping. And because of everything the economy's been through, especially since 2008, and so many people have lost their jobs or were unemployed and laid off, it's just such that it's not seen the same way that it used to be. So really, there's a lot that goes into that. You know, if the person is in a really bad situation, their current work environment is negative, it's creating a lot of undue stress, then they may want to consider not hanging around, you know, for longer than 6 months or trying to make that 2 year mark so it doesn't look like what would traditionally be considered job hopping. So I think that there are exceptions to that. I don't think that it has to be, okay, it's a 2 year hard and fast rule or you look like it's job hopping. So I think as long as there's not a pattern of that on a person's resume, you know, as long as every job, the last 4 or 5 jobs hasn't been a 6 month stint and there's not a pattern of that, then they shouldn't have to worry or stress out about the job hopping aspect of it.
And does the stage you're at in your career make a difference when employers are thinking about whether you're a job hopper or not? For example, if you're early in your career, say 5 or 10 years into, after college, are employers perhaps more forgiving or less forgiving at that stage?
I'm not sure that I have really noticed there being a preference there as far as where a person is in their career when it comes to job hopping. I don't necessarily know that that's been an issue. What I have seen with mid-level managers and executives who have been in the career field for 15, 20 years is that they'll stay with a company a long time, 10, 15, 20 years even, and they get stuck in this loyalty trap and they don't want to leave when they probably really should.
Well, I know we're going to talk too about what stops people from taking action, but one last question about moving on. For some people who are in large organizations, it might be possible to find another opportunity inside a big company rather than go to a different firm. Is that something you encourage people to consider?
I think so. Always looking internally for opportunities is definitely an option for anyone that wants career advancement. I think, especially if they like the company that they're with and they connect with that company's culture and their mission and their values and they want to stay within the organization, certainly looking at a different department or a different branch within the organization is an option. But I think for some people, they've just come to the realization that there are not options to do that, or they've tried and they've just come up against too many obstacles and roadblocks and it's not working the way that they'd like it to.
Well, let's talk about what stops people from taking action. What are some of the common barriers that you see when you talk to job seekers? Why don't they leave companies or jobs that they aren't growing in or where the workplace is toxic?
So this is really interesting because I think there is a divergence there between what people say stops them and some of the things that they don't necessarily like to talk about that stops them. And so a lot of the things I hear my clients say are providing for their family's basic needs, especially when the economy wasn't very good. You heard that a lot. You know, they wanted to stay where they were because they obviously needed to put food on the table. A lot of executives have kids that are in a good school and they don't want to move. They don't want to have to pull their kids out of that school and move to a different one. They're having a hard time finding a new opportunity. They're staying because they've been promised a promotion that just never happened. I even had some people tell me that they were waiting to hit the 10-year mark so that they could get retirement. So they were staying for money and the pension and the retirement plan. Some of them stay for job stability because they don't want to appear like a job hopper. And others of them just stay because of situations in life, like mortgage or college tuition, or, you know, staying for a spouse's position and not wanting to relocate because their spouse has a good job.
I've heard all of those reasons, particularly the one about pension benefits. I have my career, much of it was in government, and it was common for people to stay in the government I worked for. The investment kicked in after 5 years. So sometimes people would hang on, even in jobs they didn't like that were affecting their health, because that economic payoff could be substantial.
Exactly. I was speaking with a woman earlier this week who said that her husband stayed in an absolutely miserable position for 10 years just so that he could get the retirement. And the day that he retired, they went out and celebrated. They said it was the happiest day of their life because he was finally free. And I thought, I can't believe that, you know, they stayed that long being that miserable. But people do it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when you look at the calculations and the benefits that you might get if you do indeed qualify for that pension or other retirement benefit, it can be a big number, and you can understand why people might hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, Jessica, I really want to dig into how people can overcome these fears and move forward. So stay with us, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jessica Hernandez about signs that it's time to leave your job and what you can do about it. Do you think it's time to look for a new job? One of the first things you must do is get your resume ready. Here at MaxList, I read a lot of resumes, and I'm honored that people ask me for my advice about their resume. But I have a confession to make. My own resume, early in my career, wasn't so good. Sometimes I let typos slip by, and I use the same generic resume again and again for every application. And I always talked about my job responsibilities, not the results I produced for my bosses. Not surprisingly, in those years, I didn't get many job interviews, much less job offers. I don't want you to make the same errors I made, or spend the time it took me to learn what I was doing wrong and how to fix it. That's why I created the digital guide, Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. It's a free PDF, and you can get it at maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Inside, you'll find my best advice for how to make your resume stand out. My tips draw on hundreds of conversations I've had with employers, career experts, and job seekers like you. I'll show you the 8 biggest blunders people make on a resume. Do just one, and you'll automatically move your resume into the circular file. Don't let your next application end up in the reject pile. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Again, that's maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Now, let's get back to the show. Okay, we're back in the MaxList studio with Jessica Hernandez. She's the president and CEO of Great Resumes Fast. Now, Jessica, before our break, we were talking about the reasons people don't leave jobs they know they probably should move on from, and some of the barriers that stop them from doing that. So let's talk about how people can overcome those barriers. What are your general recommendations?
Great. So one of the biggest things that I see is a general fear of the unknown. A lot of people lament over all of the what ifs. What if I hate my new job? What if it's worse than my current one? What if my boss is worse, or I have to move, or I can't find anything suitable that doesn't pay me what I'm currently making? And they let this fear and doubt and worry talk them out of something that may be really great. So I always encourage people not to let that fear hold them back. And instead of focusing on all of those negative what ifs, instead focus on the positive what ifs. What if your new boss is amazing? What if they're invested in your growth and they not only appreciate your ideas, but they implement all of them and it's a great success to the company? You know, what if they value your input and your accomplishments? Or what if they pay you more or your career satisfaction increases? I mean, you can play the what if game either way. And I think sometimes you have to say, what am I saying to myself that's really stopping me from making this career change? And maybe even list out those fears or those things that are stopping you. And then let's look at the opposite side of that. Well, what if it is great? What if it is more than what I hoped for? What if I'm really happy? And then try to weigh out those pros and cons of each. And I think at some point you have to get to the place where you decide that you're not going to let the fear and the doubt and the worry hold you back from a better life.
So do you recommend that people sit down and make a list of those fears and then think about the positive opposites of them?
I think so. And I think one of the things too is that people don't even realize that it's fear that's holding them back. So I think the first thing is trying to understand exactly what it is that's holding them back from wanting to make a change, because we tend to get stuck in that list of things that I was telling you before about providing for the basic needs and not wanting to leave their child's great school or staying for that promotion. And in the background, what it really may be is the fear. So I think the first thing that we need to do is realize, is there fear here or a worry or a doubt that's keeping me from making this move? And then if there is, what is that? And then let's talk about or think about or list out on this piece of paper what the opposite of that could be. You know, it may be this, but it may be something much better.
So take us through that process, Jessica, perhaps with one or more of the clients you've worked with who've sat down, they've made that list, they've identified those fears. What have you seen happen next?
Great. So one of the really amazing things that happened over the last 2 weeks, I was working with this RN locally. She was on night shift and she just absolutely hated it. She was only getting a couple of hours of sleep before she had to go back to work. And she didn't really love the job, but she was scared that she wasn't going to be able to find something else that was on day shift that would be closer to home. So there was a lot of different things coming into play, but really she was very overwhelmed and fearful of a job search altogether. And so we were able to look at, okay, the market is really good right now, especially where she's located, which is right outside of Jacksonville, Florida. We have a lot of hospitals here, so there are a lot of options for her. And so we sat down and we wrote her resume for her. And then within 24 hours of her sitting down and doing that, first she said, I feel such a huge stress relief because she knows that it's taken care of. And then second, she sent it out. And within less than a day, she had several responses from the local hospitals who reached out to her. And she had an interview within a couple of days and ended up getting a great day shift position at a hospital that was closer to home. And for her, it was really getting over that fear of the job search process and if she would be able to find what she was looking for. And she ended up being able to do that once she sat down and really decided, okay, it's time to make that move.
So she was afraid that it was going to be difficult to do a search. And then once she identified that fear, she worked with you to get that resume out and was pleased with the responses she got. I'm curious, where did she share with you where that fear came from? Had she had a bad experience looking for work in the past?
Actually, I think hers just came from a general anxiety. She just really suffers from anxiety overall. And so she had a lot of fear going into the process, job searching, interviewing. And so we really just walked her through all of it from start to finish. And it helped to alleviate a lot of the stress that she felt, but she had to do a lot of that work facing that anxiety. And I know a lot of people that have anxiety about job searching. It can be really overwhelming.
It can. And we talk about that a lot on the show because, you know, clearly like you, I see the importance of people learning how to look for work. And most of us, we'd learn it by trial and error, don't we, Jessica? Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. We sure do. And it's not like we graduate high school and we go to college and someone teaches us how to do all of these things. Most of it is trying to figure it out on your own or finding a resume writer or a career coach or somebody to guide you through.
And often we did go to schools that had career services offices or guidance counselors. And I know many of my listeners were much more earnest than I was in those days. I didn't take advantage of those resources, and I think many mm-hmm. people don't. And as a result, they do struggle with this. I think the other factor, and I expect you see this as well, is most people don't think about it until they need to change a job or find a new one. And that might happen only every 5 or 10 years.
You're exactly right. And then by then, the job market has changed. Excuse me. The job market has changed so much that resume writing and job searching in general isn't the same as it was for them 5 or 10 years ago. And so normally when they come to us, it's like hands up in the air. I have no idea what I'm doing. This has changed so much. When I first started job searching, you just went and gave your application to a company, and now everything's online and it's through applicant tracking software systems, and they have no idea how to write a resume to get through the screening systems, and they're just getting stuck and ending up in some black hole.
Well, let's talk more about how people can get over those fears of whatever it is that's holding them back, whether it's inexperience in job hunting or some of the other barriers you mentioned, like thinking they can't afford to move or they need to keep their kids in school. Can you share some other examples of people you've worked with who've encountered those kinds of obstacles and how they've overcome them?
Absolutely. So we were recently working with a gentleman who had one kid in high school and one in college, and he had a mortgage and he wanted to advance his career. But the issue that he was having is he didn't want to relocate because of all of, you know, the situations where his kids were. And one of his kids was getting ready to graduate high school. So he just didn't want to relocate. And he was concerned that there were limited opportunities in the space where he was for the type of work that he did. And so what we helped him to do was to identify some of the companies that he wanted to work for in the location where he was in the type of work that he did. And then we helped him get his resume together so that he could apply to those positions that were local. And what we helped him realize is that you don't have to just sit back and wait and apply online and take whatever comes. You can actually target specific companies that are in your location, that are in your industry, and you can approach them. It's one way of tapping into the hidden job market. So he thought that he was limited to what he saw out on the internet, and all of that was not even local to where he was. He didn't realize that he had the power to go and do the research, target the specific companies, and reach out to them. And so once he realized that, he felt a lot better and he wasn't as concerned about being able to advance his career and having to relocate to do that. He realized that he could stay local.
I love that story for a number of reasons. One is you're helping people understand that their choices aren't limited to what they see online, or you can get out there and talk to people at the companies you want to reach. And a lot of people struggle with that, don't they?
They do. A lot of people struggle with that. I think a lot of people just don't realize that it's okay for them to network and reach out to connections, hiring managers, decision makers at the companies that they're really interested in working for. And a lot of us think we just have to sit back and take what's available. We don't realize that we can be proactive and that we can go out and find companies whose culture is a fit for us, whose mission and values line up with what we're passionate about, who have opportunities that align with our strengths and the things that we want to do, and that we can, you know, go out and make those connections, reach out to them, even if it's as what I would consider old school as sending a resume and a cover letter in the mail to the hiring manager at that company. You would be surprised what that does, because no one really does that anymore.
And the people you see who are successful at this, how do they learn how to do this, Jessica? I know obviously many people work with you, but is there some common quality or trait that you see in people who figure out how to navigate the hidden job market?
I think a lot of it is a motivation and a passion to advance their career, to grow, to do more meaningful work. And I think it's that passion that drives them. They start doing the research to figure out what it is. I spoke with a lady earlier this week who absolutely loved this one company, and it was her lifelong desire to work with the company. She's followed them for years. She's connected with people in the organization. She identifies with their mission. She was so passionate about doing work for this company. And it was that passion that drove her to do the research to figure out how to make those connections and how to get her foot in the door in the company and align her values and her experience and her accomplishments with that organization's mission. And it really blew the company away. I mean, it just blew them away, her passion for what they did and how she was able to articulate that.
That's a terrific story. And what makes it stand out for me is she did something that I hear so many job seekers say they want to see happen, which is get in front of a hiring manager, because if they could only do that, they think, and I think they're right in seeking this opportunity out, then they can show who they are and why they're passionate about working for that firm. But they don't know how to get through the front door, or if they do send a formal application, it's in a stack of 50 or 100. And here's somebody who figured out how to go in through the back door, and it was and she caught the attention of people inside the company by doing so.
She did. And what made that so amazing is that it was Microsoft and they're huge. Yet she was still able to find a way to get in. So I think that really should inspire other people that it doesn't matter the size of the organization. It doesn't matter how big they are, that if you are passionate enough and you are driven enough to look for those opportunities and to make those connections into network, you can even get in the door with a company as big as Microsoft.
Well, it's a great story and I think a great spot to stop. Now, tell us, Jessica, what's next for you?
So we've recently been working on a PDF download called 15 Keys to Getting Your Resume Through Applicant Tracking Software Systems. Because so many of the clients that come to us tell us, I'm applying to positions, I'm not hearing anything back, my resume is not getting through the screening systems, and I don't know what's wrong. So we put together the PDF download so that people would be able to read through the different tips in the article and then be able to apply those to their resumes so that they can see them get through all of the screening software systems.
Well, great. And tell us how people can find that PDF.
Great. So they can go to www.greatresumesfast.com/maxlist.
Well, terrific. I appreciate the shout out to MaxList. I know people can also learn more about you and your company by visiting greatresumesfast.com. Jessica, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed that conversation with Jessica very much, and I hope you did too. A key takeaway for me was her point that we don't have to stay in a job we're unhappy in. It is not a life sentence. There is a way out, and I'd love the practical steps that Jessica outlined for how to move forward when you know that it's time to leave your job. So if, in fact, you are ready to leave your job, or maybe you're just in the middle of a job search, I want you to think about a resource we offer here at MaxList before you send out that next resume. Learn from the experience I've had of talking to hundreds of employers, career experts, and job seekers about what makes resumes stand out. Take a moment and go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Again, that's maxlist.org/resume mistakes. You'll get a copy of our free guide, Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes, and it can help you today catch and fix some of the most common resume errors employers and career experts have told me they see every day. So don't make those mistakes. Get your free copy today. And thanks for listening to today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Clark Finical. He'll talk to us about job search myths we all need to stop believing now. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.